It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Okay, let's go back to the book of Genesis. Starting from verse 11.
And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth.
Now see, when the Cain committed a murder, God says, because you killed your brother, and his blood spilled on earth, now the earth is cursed more. When Adam committed sin, the earth was cursed. Thorns and thistles came. Let's read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17.
And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life.
Now see, when man committed sin, the earth was cursed. And now when the Cain killed his brother, God says, again, you killed the innocent person and his blood is shed on this ground. Now this ground is cursed. And now you work hard and much more harder, still you will not be satisfied. Means the earth will not give you the full strength. Now this is what happens. Now many people, they are killing innocent people, especially in America. We are killing hundreds and thousands of babies every day. Somebody say, how are we killing it? We are doing abortions. The babies are aborted. The innocent blood is shed in the land. That's why the land is cursed. And so people are saying, this morning somebody was saying, one lady said, oh, God is bad. I'm done with God. I don't want any part of God. And God is not doing anything. And many people are suffering. People commit sin. And they blame God. They think God is the reason all these things are happening. We saw here Adam committed sin, the curse came to the land. His son committed sin, the more curse came to the land. And so the curse comes because of sin. And this curse came, and now this man is saying, now, God, this is so much. I cannot handle this curse. And he is thinking, God, you are unjust to me. What he is doing? He is blaming God that you cursing me. Why, God did not come to curse him. God told him, Cain, sin is at the door. Watch out. Otherwise, the sin will walk over you and you will be doing the wrong thing. God gave him so many choices. There are good children and there are bad children. This was the spoiled child. Well, how do you say? Because you have only one son and you don't say anything to him and he becomes a very bad person. If there is only one child in the house, he thinks I'm a king. I can do anything. But this Cain was spoiled. Not only that, because a mother and father, they might be thinking so many things bad about God. God cursed us. God told us to get out of his garden. And he is not a good God and this and that. So he developed the mentality, God is bad. And now when he kills his brother, and God says, now the curses came on the land. Because you spill your brother's blood, your brother's blood is crying from the ground. Now the ground is not going to give you good fruits, and you're going to work hard. Not only that, you're going to be wandering all over the world. Means all over the land. Why? Because you don't get fruit here. You plant something, didn't go good fruit. So you go and find a better land and better land and better land. That's why people sometimes they wander looking for a job. They're going from one country to another country, one state to another state, to one place to another place, looking for job. I tell them, sir, job is right here. Wherever you are, you remember Hagar was running for the water. And he said, Lord, there is no water. My child is dying with the water, and child is crying. God says, water is right there. As soon as you call upon God, the water is there. As soon as you call upon God, the food is there. As soon as you call upon the God, the job is there. Everything is there. But you are running for your life. The word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. This man is running from the Lord, and he is blaming God. He says, now this punishment is so severe. Start reading from verse 13. Genesis 4:13.
And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me.
Now see, he's complaining to God. Lord, you gave me so severe punishment. Are you fool? You killed your brother. That's the worst thing you did. And now you have to run around. You have to wander in the world. Nobody's killing you. Nobody's destroying you. Why are you so worried? Just because you have to run from one place to another place, nobody's following you. Nobody's killing you. But you have fear. When the people do commit sin, the fear comes. If you don't commit sin, there is no fear. The fear comes because of sin. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. Now look at this man. He has fear. He has no love. He has no sound mind. And he has so much fear that somebody will kill me. People kill somebody and run. And when they're running, they are afraid the police will catch me. Somebody will kill me. And they are running for their life. They go from one city to another city to another city, thinking that somebody will catch me. But nowadays we have so much advanced technology, the man can run from anywhere or anywhere, we can catch him. But the point I'm making, the people who commit sin, murder, killer, and they justify. I did it because the person was wrong and I am right. They never say, I made a mistake. Now this Cain had so many chances to ask forgiveness. He should have said, Lord, I'm sorry. I killed my brother. You gave me chances. I didn't listen to you. And now here I am. You want to punish me? I'm ready. You can kill me. You can do anything to me. You remember the David? When God says, okay, now you did wrong thing. You counted people. You didn't trust in me. You didn't do the right thing. Now I'm going to destroy you. I put three things in your hand. Choose one. You run and enemy runs after you for 3 months. Or you can have a plague. Or you can have famine. Choose one. What did he say? Lord, I want to fall in your hands. I don't want to do anything. I did wrong enough. I want to follow you. David shed innocent blood. What David was thinking, I'm doing right thing. I killed the Goliath. I'm the leader of my country. Nobody is like me. I have power to kill one of my soldiers and take his wife. Nothing wrong with it, because I am in charge of this, my country. And just like I'm a god of this world. And then Nathan comes and says, "Sir, there is a man in your country, and he had the guest came, and he took one servant's lamb and slaughtered and made the feast. And that lamb was just like a child to him." He said, "Who is that man? That man should be killed." He says, "Sir, that's you. You had so many wives. Why did you take the Uriah's wife? Why did you kill that innocent man?" And so he said, "Lord, I want to build the house for you. I want to build the temple for you." God says, "No, you are not the man. You shed innocent blood. You cannot build the temple for me." What the Bible is teaching us, if you commit any sin, you better run to God. He says, "I'm going to run." And then the following verse says, he went running away from the Lord. 15. Genesis chapter 4, verse 15.
"And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden."
Now, here it says, first of all, he said, "Lord, this is too much for me. I cannot bear this." God said, okay. "I'm going to do a favor for you. I'm going to put a mark on your forehead." Now, I don't know what kind of mark he put it. If you have one mark there, like a cigarette, and then put a cross over, what you think? Do not smoke, no smoking. So I think he might have put a fun knife, I'm just guessing, put a knife there and put a cross there, so don't kill this man. And so everybody sees there, what is this? Don't you think you're not supposed to kill me? And so the point I'm making, he wanted to save himself. He's not concerned about others. God says, okay, maybe someday he will think that God gave me a chance to repent. That's why God gives you so many chances. God does not zap you right away you commit sin. Even the Old Testament time it happened. But now we are living in a grace period. People are thinking, "Oh, I did so many things and nothing happening." God might be loving me so much. And so some people keep on doing it. They don't know their mother is praying for them, father is praying for them, church is praying for them, somebody is praying for them, their protection. But they're thinking, "Well, I did it before and nothing happened. Maybe I'm doing something right." And that's why people committing sin. God gave this man a lot of chances. And he gave him a mark. Now he said, "Okay, I'm giving you time to repent." But what happens? He did not repent. So here what happened to him, he goes and go to the place called Nod. And there he dwells and he builds the city for his son. Now there are so many questions. Somebody says, "Oh, how did he go to the city of Nod? What is that city of Nod? Is Nod is like a wandering place. The meaning is you're a wanderer." So he gave the name, "I'm a wanderer here." He sees the city of wandering people. There are some people say, "This is a wild wood," or this is a jungle out here. So he named himself, "This is a wandering people's place. And so don't come here. We are a wanderer." Why he was afraid? He was afraid of Adam's other children. Adam had more other children, because when you're reading this chapter, only talks about Cain and Cain's children. But Adam was having children itself, because he got another child, Seth, and Seth got another child, and they start worshiping God. We will be reading a little further. But these people did not have the fear of God. They are running from God. When you run from God, you don't know who God is. So what these people are start doing? Now he trying to tell these people, you know what? We have to make our name. So his son, he said, okay, let's build a city. Let's please read, start reading from verse 17.
And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch.
Now he's saying, okay, somebody said, how did he get the wife? He got the wife, he took it from his father. His father has more daughters and other sons, so he took one of the daughter and he got married. There was no other lady was made for him because they were only Adam and Eve, and we are coming from her, Adam and Eve. So he took one of Adam's daughter and he ran to this place, and now he's building the city. You cannot build the city in one day. What happened? He took a territory. And he said, now this is the knot. This is our territory. I do not want Adam's other children come to this land. This is ours. And now what's happening? He built a city and he's telling his son, you know, son, we have to have a name. Because people are thinking we are murderers, we are killers, but we are good people. Now his family, and we knew for a little bit further. Keep on reading. Verse 18 and more.
And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah.
Now see, now here is the families given, and now where the Lamech comes, he is a little bit proud man. He said, wow, I am so strong and I'm so healthy, and I'm going to marry two wives because I'm a strong man. So he married two wives. This is the first man in the world giving a bad example that you should have two wives. One is not satisfying him, so he said, I want another wife. There was no law at that time, but he took two wives. And the two wives, now if you read their names, I don't have time to go. One name is, he was so beautiful, like a beautiful ornament. And the other one's like a shadow. Means, you know, she was a beautiful woman, maybe mother, like mother or like a father. So both beautiful girl he married, and now they got a beautiful children. They were very smart people. He's saying one son's name is Jabal, and another person's name is Jubal. So they know how to rhyme, to do it. And now one person is very smart. Playing organ and music and dance and everything they're doing. And the other person is become like a tent, going one place to another place, just like his great-great-great-grandfather. And then what happened, there is another son comes from Zillah. She named Tubal-Cain. Oh, my son coming after Cain. So what Cain's specialty is killing. So he said, okay, son, you have to do something. So his father teaching him, we have to protect ourselves because, you know, our father made the city and the name for us. So we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect this city. We have to protect our people. So what you do, make some instrument of destruction. Means all kinds of instrument, how to kill and how to destroy, and all of these instrument he start making. But the point I'm making here, now this man is so proud. Oh, nobody can kill me now. My son has a factory, destructive instrument factory, and my other son is a musician. We got whole thing covered up. We sing, everybody. Do you know now when the people go and sing, what do you call, disco dancing or the rock music? How many people come there? They go there, even though their ears get burst out listening to that music. But they go there and dance hours and hours and hours and hours, and they don't get tired. The point I'm making, this is the satanic kind of entertainment these Cain's children were doing. And the instrument of destruction they were making, that doesn't mean they were not making pans and pots and things like that, but they were, namely, they wanted to protect their town, their city, their fathers, and their relatives. And so that's what they were doing. And so what happened? One person comes and wounded him. Now, I don't know whose fault is. This man did something wrong, and that's why he hit him. We don't know. But this person who is wounding, he's not from the Cain's family. He's coming from the Adam's family. Maybe Seth's son, maybe Enosh's son, or some other family. So he just wounded, and he's a young man. So he's thinking, well, okay, I'll take care of you. Do you know in my family, we are all these weapons and this and that. He might be carrying one. And so he killed that young man, and he's proud that what he does and what he did, and he comes and gives the speech. To whom? His wives. His wife is his audience. And so he said, "Lo, wives, you know what I did? One young man came to me, he wounded me, but I killed him." So he's so proud. He's thinking he did a great thing. And now he's making his own law. If the Cain should be revenge for sevenfold, I should be 77-fold. So he made his own law. I want somebody to protect me. God, he didn't come to God. He didn't ask God. God protected Cain, but he is protecting himself. In the beginning, this God says, if somebody sheds the blood, his blood should be shed. Means if you kill somebody, you should kill that man. Death penalty. Somebody says, oh, but Jesus will not give the death penalty. Jesus was so nice and so loving and so kind. Do you know Jesus believed in death penalty? He said, if somebody try to harm the little ones, tie the big stone, millstone in his neck, and throw him in the deep sea. Is that a death penalty? Yes! Jesus believed in death penalty. He said, you cannot kill innocent people. You cannot do harm to innocent people. If you do that, that person should be killed. We are giving license to this criminal to do criminal thing. The word of God says if you kill somebody, that person should be killed. Death penalty should be given. So nobody will be doing this crime. But here what we say, oh, if you kill 10 people or 100 people, oh, we are not going to kill you. What we're going to do, we are going to give you life in prison. We are going to protect you. But here, if the baby is in a womb, and the baby is innocent, not harming anybody, not killing anybody, but if the girl is 13 or 12 years old and she's in the school and she tells the teacher, I'm pregnant, oh, we'll take care of that. Go to the clinic, take out the baby, and not even tell your mother or father. This is what we are doing, and we are killing innocent people every day. And we are protecting criminals every day. That's why our country going down the drain. We are making more criminals. How many criminals, they come from the, what you call, the prison, and they go back to prison? Not one time. Their life is, they want to go to prison, because when they come out, they have no house, they have no place to live, nobody is respecting them, so they go back to prison. Time and time and time again. But if that person was a criminal, and if this person was a murderer, you know, in the olden days, they said, before we kill, say, pray, ask God to forgive you. They give the chance, and then they kill them. And so the point I'm making, this Lamech is a self-righteous man, and he wants somebody to protect him. And that's why we are doing wrong thing. We are protecting wrong people, and they are not understanding, but they are doing wrong thing and wrong thing. And so we see when the people are criminal, and they want to be free, but they don't want to change their heart. Just like Cain, just like Lamech, they want to live for a long time, but they don't want to change their heart. They don't want to change their mind. Thank God today this TBN doing a great job. They are putting the every prison the satellite dish. And hundreds and thousands of prisoners are getting saved. And when they come out, they don't go back. Why? Because they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They recognize that we committed sin. Lord, forgive our sins and change us. And then God will do the rest. You cannot be wanderer and freedom to run around and kill more people, destroy more people, and no fear of God. God doesn't want that. The children of Israel, they had given chance. Put the blood sign on your door. They don't have to confess their sins. They don't have to say anything they did wrong. And everybody was protected. Now they think, wow, this is a good God. You can do anything. And you are protected. Now the enemy is coming behind them. And the sea is in front of them. What are we going to do? He said, well, Moses stands there and he says, God is going to do a great salvation. Behold, God is going to do great salvation. Whatever you saw this enemy, you will not see them again. And so the enemy comes like a flood. And then they go out. And the word of God says the sea comes to the level again. And everybody was killed. Not a single enemy was left. So these people said, oh, God is a good. And so start rebelling. 40 years. Round and round and round and round. And they went. And they did not repent. They did not change. They did not do anything. Only Joshua and Caleb was able to go to promised land. And everybody died in the wilderness. Somebody said, oh, they were saved by the blood. They were saved by the baptism. People get saved, get a baptism. They do everything, but they wander. They don't want to change. They just say namesake. Oh, so do the sinner's prayers. They repent and do sinner's prayers just for the namesake. And they go and do the things again and again and again. When you are God saved, you are not saved to do the sin. God gives you grace. Then somebody says, when the sin bound, the grace abound. What does that mean? Keep on sinning? No. Once you are a sinner, Jesus gives you grace. And once you live in grace, then your grace is going to abound more and more. And you will be not able to sin again. God gives you grace to not to sin. He doesn't give you grace to sin. He saves you. And he gives you power over the demonic forces. Okay, let's go back and start reading from verse 23.
And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord.
See the difference? Here in Adam's family, the Seth came, and there were another brothers, another sister came. But Cain's name is gone and Abel's name is gone. Now they are counting all the generation from Adam, starting from Seth. I don't have time. If you have time, read the 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, and Luke chapter 3, verse 38. There we see the genealogy coming from the Seth, not from Cain, not from Abel. So the word of God says, when the Seth was born, and then Seth goes, another son Enosh was born. And the word of God says, then people start worshiping the Lord. What happened? When Adam was worshiping the Lord, he taught his son Cain to worship the Lord. He taught his son Abel to worship the Lord. But what happened when Cain killed his brother Abel, and then Cain was, you know, like a jungly man running around, and Abel is gone, so Adam and Eve got depressed. Why God did this to us? He kicked us from the garden, and now we have no children. Now we have nobody to say our children. What am I going to do? So they didn't worship God. They didn't pray to God. That's what happens. When you lose the job, when you lose a child, when you lose your wife, when you lose house, you lose something, you said, I don't need God. He took everything what I had. He didn't take it. You did it. Because of your sin, it happened to you. And so here when the Seth came, and when Seth came, still they are not thankful. They didn't say, oh, thank you, God. Now you give us Seth. Let's worship. No. Then another son comes. Seth got his son Enosh. Then Seth said, hey, I'm grateful. God has given me son. I'm going to praise the Lord. Then the Adam and Eve say, okay, we joined with you. And they start worshiping God. Somebody has to start worshiping God, praising God, glorifying God, and give an example. If my mother and father are not doing, you do it. You take authority. You say, I'm your son. I learned from the beginning. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to sing to the Lord. And mommy and daddy, sit here. Listen to the word of God. That's what the Seth and his son did. Then the grandfather said, okay, you are right. We went away from God. That's why this thing happened. We committed sin. Let's come to God and let's worship God. That's why God wants. God has created us to worship him. The man is running away from God. We learn in Psalm 139, we learn that psalmist said, where I can go from your presence? You cannot run away from God. Wherever you go, God is there. What you do? Run to God. God says, come to me, come nigh to me, so I come near to you. Jesus Christ said, oh, heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Why are you running? You are running from your life. I said, sir, why are you running? Wherever you are, God can give you a job. Let's pray. And God bless him there. So point I'm making. Don't run from God. Run to God. He is loving. He's kind. He's gracious, and he wants to save you. He wants to supply your needs. He wants to bless you abundantly. The word of God says the curse came twice. But the word of God says God removed that curse. When? When Jesus Christ came. Galatians, please read that. We read it many times, but please read. Galatians 3:13.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
See, Jesus Christ took your curse. Now you don't have to live in curse. Other day one man called me and said, Pastor Peter, my tongue has some kind of cancer, and I'm having a lot of pain, and I'm afraid that in my family, somebody has the tongue cancer, and it's coming on me, and I might have this problem. I said, sir, wait a minute. You are a child of God. If you are born again, child of God, you are in the family of God. You are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather may be not saved, so their curse cannot come to you. You are protected. You are under the grace of Jesus Christ. And I prayed for him, and I say, I rebuke that thought and that sickness and disease. And as soon as I prayed, he said, I feel better. What I'm trying to say, no curse can land on you. Somebody say, oh, somebody put curse on me. No, sir. Nobody's curse can come on you and land on you, because you are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. No curse, no sickness, no disease can come to my dwelling. Why? Because I am the temple of the living God. God lives in me. And so devil has no power to attack God. We are children of God. Greater one lives in us. We don't have to worry. But this whole earth is cursed. And Jesus removed the curse from us as a living person. But the whole world is still under curse. Until they plead the blood of Jesus Christ, curse is not going automatically. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and start reading from verse 18. I'm going to finish soon. 18 to 23.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
See, he says, to waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. What does it mean? God has already saved us. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, he said, we are lifted up to heaven and our spirit man lives in heaven beside Jesus Christ. But we are living in this body. There are still thorns and thistles in the world. They can prick you. You have to work hard. Still the curse is all around us. Whole creation is groaning. Whole creation has a curse still on them. That the curse only gone from you. But your body is still having pain. I'm a child of God. I'm a born again child of God. And I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm living the Spirit of God. But if you pinch me, I will have blood. I will have pain. I will have sore. If you wound me, I will have wound. I will have pain. So what does that mean? We are still groaning in our bodies. Enemy still attacks us. But the word of God says, you take the shield of faith and quench the darts of the enemy. Enemy there to kill you, destroy you. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. Our body, we are craving for what? To have the redemption body. When Jesus Christ said that with the tinkling of an eye, in a book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we will be changed and transformed. Maybe Jesus Christ comes, he will take us home. We will be completely transformed. Our body will be just like body of his body. And when you come back to Millennium Kingdom, no thorns, no thistles, no lion can kill the baby goat or anything. No snake can bite you. The beautiful world will be there in the millennium. That means the curse, complete curse, will be gone. But now the curse is not on us, but the people are still living in curse. But the day is coming. The whole curse will be gone. We will be not groaning and mourning in the millennium. We will be rejoicing. The day is coming. And we should be completely transformed. Say, Lord, you have given us enough time, like a Cain, like a Lamech. And they are running from you. But we don't want to run like a wanderbang or a fugitive. I want to run to you and take a chance to give your life to Jesus Christ. Receive him as your Lord and your Savior. You will be never be the same. You will live like a king. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to follow you. We do not want to run away from you. If you run away from you, we cannot hide from you anyhow, but we are the one getting to more problems and more problems and more problems. Let us come back to you. Your word says, seek me, seek the kingdom of God, seek his righteousness, seek that the time is short. Lord Jesus, we want to follow you. And you promise us, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We are not running away from you. We want to run to you. Bless us and use us mightily for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.